Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty.
And to those new friends, I say, come on in and have a sit down
and pull up a chair and stay a while. We're about to have a discussion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, our feature segment on musicians, artists, spoken word artists, and poets. The question is for this evening, are their lifestyles real? And do they live the life of the rich and famous? And how do they maintain and become copacetic and become real people, even though they're flourishing with filthy lucre and can buy many things that they want? How do they maintain and stay neutral and become an everyday people? Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to talk to you about that. And I want to also say that I've been calling out the name of John Lennon. Isn't it funny? John Lennon has made his transition. I mean, John Legend is the one who's written these great songs that we're producing. Pardon me. I have to sometimes go back and recorrect those errors. So help me out a little bit here. If I say John Lennon again, remind me it's John Legend. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're just patient with me like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did a recording when we first started this month out about my background in the music industry, and unfortunately, it got deleted, and I don't know if most of you heard the introduction and my testimony. I'd like to give it once again for those of you who missed out on it. As an artist and an entertainer, there is a past and a present and a current lifestyle, and we live all of them. And I wanted to bring that to you and give you a little segment, and also to continue to recruit for Project 2019 Chapter Leaders. We are going to keep pressing on every day, ladies and gentlemen, because we are now trying to match and meet a date of 2019 when we come to the conclusion of the 400 years that we've come out of slavery. I want to try to recruit as many young people as possible and give them the responsibility of becoming leaders. If you're not sure exactly of what it is you want to do, we have outlined instructions of how to start a chapter. If you go to Project 2019 and Google it and look on our homepage, you'll find it right there. There are several areas of tutoring. Also, back-to-school festivals is nothing strenuous, but something you can do to make a difference in your community. Starting those youngsters out in understanding the green jobs and how to get involved in gardening, all of those things. And we're going to continue to recruit for those slots. And if you're interested, please email Omi at omiyinka1@gmail.com. I'll be happy to accommodate you, but right now you can go to those web pages under Project 2019 and Google it and find out what Northern Indiana has been doing in the past. We've just recently replaced me with a chapter leader for Indiana. I will be moving on to the National Executive Board Director, where I will be over all the Project 2019 so we can look consistent and we'll keep track of our mission and stay on task. Great job that I have laid out for me. A lot of work, but it's going to be worth it. And if you would like to join forces with us, now is the time to do so. We're not just a talking radio, playing music, kicking back, but we are progressively out in the community doing things to make a change. Why don't you join us and be a part of Project 2019 and help us to make a difference in the community? We'll talk back at you shortly, right after the station identification. Why don't you go with me as we talk to our generation of young people about what they can do to make that change. I'm calling on you young people. I want to know that you got my back. Tell me a little bit about the general.
Present situation. Take a lesson from our elders. Don't make the same mistake. Let's do the world with love and get rid of all the hate. Our elders taught us one thing. Present situation.
I'm also inviting that guest to come on in. Why don't you dial in, guest, at 646-478-0270. We'd love to talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to inform you this evening that we'll be talking about our artists and their lifestyles. Are they real? And what is it that makes it so glamorous to look at the lifestyle of the rich and famous? And are they always rich? Are they just everyday people? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to share with you and give you a little insight about Omi's background in the music profession. There was a tape recording done earlier this month. However, it got lost in one of our attempts to bring on a guest. So we'd like to bring that back to you and bring it back hard and heavy and talk to you a little bit about the lifestyle of the artist. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, people are everyday people. But we have a different side of our life that we like to talk about when we're getting down with the brothers and sisters about how great it is to be an artist. And sometimes we over-exaggerate a little bit, but we have to keep it real. In my effort to keep it real, I'm going to take you back to the time when I started singing at about 10 years old. And at that particular point, 10 other girls decided to sing with me, and we were called the Mitchell Singers. It was 11 girls singing all over Gary, Indiana, approximately the same time that Michael Jackson was featuring the stage doing all of these talent shows throughout Gary. Gary was a plethora of people singing all over this particular city, singing their gospels, their blues, and their jazz. Nevertheless, we were performers, dancing and all. At that particular time, I had no idea that our singing would go on to advance itself to being involved with the orchestras, playing the clarinet, sisters playing violin and viola. We became musically inclined, and we were an intellect and didn't realize it. I didn't know how much I was an intellect until I got to high school and was told that you can do something with your voice. You can do something better than just sing for chicken dinners during the church session. I didn't know this, and I wasn't really aware of it until when I went overseas and I was attempting to take an adjunct job working in the evening, a second job, moonlighting. I thought it would bring in a couple of $100 a week or maybe $2,000 a month, but I wasn't quite sure. I ran into a gentleman by the name of Bob Jackson, better known as Robert Jackson, the wit. He heard me speak as I asked for an application to fill out for a teacher. He said, "Hold up. With a voice like that, you ought to be singing. Why aren't you auditioning for our next new soulful Jackson singer?" I said, I didn't know anything about it and wasn't aware of it. I just wanted to fill my application out and move on. He said, "But we're auditioning this evening right here in this building. How would you like to come back and audition for us?" I thought the man was crazy or had lost his mind. Couldn't he see I was trying to obtain a second job to feed my family, to compensate for my out-of-work husband, to give a second income to the household? He never once listened to what I said. He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Gary, Indiana." He said, "Gary, Indiana? I'm from Indianapolis. Child, you're a long way from home, just like me. We're kid and kin. We're family. Why don't you come out this evening and audition?" I said, "All right, give me the address. I'll come. I'll be there." So I took the address hurriedly and decided to come out and audition. And would you believe it? It was out in the open, out in the forest, right in the midst of Germany where people go out in the park. I said, "Well, whatever, I will sing and see what happens." I sung my song and felt that I did it to the best of my ability, and felt like there were many, many more that were probably greater than myself. Little did I know, when I got off the stage, he stopped me in my tracks. He said, "We want you in our group." I was hysterical. I couldn't believe it. He handed me the contract and said, "I'd like to offer you a contract. As long as you're here in this country of Europe, you will get royalties and receive royalties. And you're going on tour with us as we go to Berlin, and we're cutting a CD, and we'll be on national television." It was just so much for me. My heart was pounding. I couldn't believe it. And when I came home and rushed home, I said, "Give me a minute before I sign it." I rushed home to sit down with my spouse to discuss it with him. He thought I was joking. He said, "You're joking. Who's going to give you a contract in the middle of the forest?" He couldn't believe it. I had to take this man to John, had to take this man to Robert to introduce him to him before he could believe it. Robert said, "Yes, it's true. I'm offering her a contract, and with your permission, she can travel with us, and you can come along, too, if you would like." My husband couldn't believe it. He was just hysterical as well. He said, sign that paper, give it to him, quickly. We're about to travel. When I signed the paper, my life was never the same anymore. My life had changed completely. I was being put into makeup rooms, being dialed up with my hair frizzed up and frayed and fried up, and wigs and attachments and extensions and weaves, you name it. Our pictures were on the billboards across the city, in the photo shops all over. We were getting ready to cut a CD, so we had an image to project. And we were out in the community introducing ourselves to the familiar community who was seeking to find healing through our words. Little did I know that this was one of the biggest groups that ever existed there in Frankfurt, Germany. I had just gotten a ticket to the beginning of my life. I had no knowledge of what group I was getting connected with until I researched them and realized that these people were a household name. They were professionals. They were acting and performing throughout Germany. As I began to spend time with them and touring with them, we went on several tours together, and the one that stands out the most is when we traveled to Berlin to be on something what you would call American Bandstand. When we got there, we were all excited about performing with Joan Faulkner. And Joan Faulkner was the lead of the group, and we would follow her along with LaBouche. You can see these people on my webpage. They are real. They exist. LaBouche was out for some time then. They also accompanied us in this dedication to Princess Diana on national TV. Would you believe it? A young woman just from Gary, Indiana, getting a contract to tour all over Germany. It was like a pipe dream. It was like almost a vision, a dream that I was having. My life was taking a different course. And finally, I had an opportunity to get paid for something that I love so well, singing. I was paid every week in March and Denmark's dollars, not in American dollars, which would equivalent to $800 in American dollars for performing on stage. We did backup. We did recitals. We did marriages, ceremonies. We did whatever we had to do to perform and keep the flow of music moving. What we did most of all, when we did our dedication to Princess Diana, it made history. The Jackson Singers were the first to go behind the Berlin Wall after the wall came down. I was more than honored to travel with this group. Bob was such a good manager. Never once did I have to question any of the legitimacy of the legalities of any of the business. He took care of everything. He was a godsend. He became a family member to us. He connected himself to our family, and we were his family, and he was our family. And as we traveled, we stood close together and made sure we took care of one another. But one particular night when we were traveling, there was one among us that we couldn't foresee that had the possibility of perishing. This young man that was our drummer, he had been sick with the flu and decided to take the flu shot before we left. When he boarded the bus, we noticed that he was bent over in pain, coughing and spitting up sputum. We went around him and asked if there was anything we could do, and that most of all, we wanted to pray for him. So we held his hand and prayed for him that day on the bus before we took off. We prayed for him, and then he laid over in the corner and went into a slumber. We never seen our drummer again until the next morning when we found him dead. He was exhausted. He was so sick, and we didn't know it. We had to change all of our plans and redirect our trafficking and put everything on hold in order to take this young man back home to bury him and give him a proper delivery of transitioning with his family. Ladies and gentlemen, while you're out on the road, it can be very rough and difficult and strenuous, and it's not always glamour and lights action. We did go behind the action doors and put on all of the glamour and the beauty and have access to the red carpet treatment. We had all of that. And my most memorable moment was meeting Joan Faulkner, because she, too, was from Gary, Indiana. And when she found out I was from Gary, Indiana, she summoned me to her court to a private dinner with just us two. Boy, did I feel special. When I came into her grace, I could hardly lift my eyebrows for looking down in humbleness. This woman was a household name. She had her own sitcom. She was the blues singer of Germany. And she was welcome in every area as if she was the stuff, the Chazelle, if I might add. When I met her, I was so humble, and her heart was so relieved to find somebody from home that she could confide in. We became very good friends during that time. And boy, did we take care of each other. And that's what it was all about. When you come into this industry, you become family. And that's what I love more so than anything, even beyond the scene, was the fact that we had created new family members. And the question of, is it real, the lifestyle? Let me give you a case in point. I was on a waiting list just to get a simple apartment. When they found out I was going to sing with the Jackson, they then told me my name went on the front of the list for a brand-new five-bedroom condominium or townhouse, as you would call it. I moved into a brand-new townhouse, and people in that neighborhood knew we were from the Jacksons. They would serenade our house constantly, and they would come and ask for autographs. I gave the autographs gracefully as if I was just common, everyday people. I didn't know how big I had made it. And as long as I was in Europe, I was greeted by Caucasians and blacks and the soldiers as well as being a part of something great. I was more than humble because I knew that it was by God's grace that I made it to that point. As we went on and performed, I decided I wanted to do some writing. And as we decided to, because I was teaching and working too, it was a little difficult for me to travel after the second year because of my job hanging me up on Fridays. I used to get Fridays off in exchange for working 10-hour shifts. I was moonlighting, you see. I was bringing in a second income for our family. So I decided to put my writing out there and start writing poetry, and I wanted to do my own Christmas show alone with the help of my friends, of course. I produced a 4-day Christmas show. I was dressed in one of the most elegant dresses you ever could see, and I brought my friends in to make sure that things would go well. We had an introduction of the young women that were dancing with our open performance. I had a chance to perform and do opening performance for MC Light, which gave me an opportunity to get my name out there and doing one of Anita Baker's specials. I was very more than pleased. My life was moving rapidly in the music industry, and it would probably have gone further had I been able to stay in Germany. I then had to pack and get ready after 5 years to make my transition home after 9/11. But nevertheless, I was fortunate to have this few 5 years moment of a moment in bliss. And I'm telling you, if you get an opportunity to take it, I've gotten another opportunity again to take a contract. School always got in the way of what I was doing, but I decided to transition out of school earlier so I could pursue my career in music. I know I have something called a gift, possibly for gabs, who knows, but I've always been able to sing impromptu, and I've asked God to allow me to sing to the glory of his expectation. Then I would do my best. One thing I always had a problem with, and that was the fact that I was a Christian at the time, I felt that I was limited. I couldn't go outside of those shades of gray and do blues or jazz. But I'm a blues singer. I started becoming a blues singer when I watched my aunt and my uncle, who were great singers. My uncle here, who sang in Gary, Indiana, was a harmonica specialist. He had his own spot and facility, and he played music. And he encouraged me to use my vocal cords to sing. So I didn't just come up through the hard way. There were other role models in my life. My brother also cut a CD and was a musician as well. So music didn't come hard for me. It was easy. It was something that was in my blood and in our family's blood. But I'll say to you and you out there who are trying to build your tracks and develop yourself, make sure that you are developing it off of practicing every day and perfecting your gift, because it's definitely necessary, because there's a lot of competition out there today. And they're not taking any excuse that my voice is raw today. You will have to sometimes sing impromptu, and sometimes you have to go on stage before you're ready, and they'll ask you to sing. I remember this memorable night that I had prepared myself to go on stage, and I didn't do a mic check. And when I got on stage, there was no microphone equipment. At that particular point, I froze. I didn't think to do it a cappella. I will never forget that. Never forget that moment when I froze and did not do the song a cappella. I could have won them over that night. I became all flesh with fever, embarrassed by what they might say. And I pulled back, and I didn't sing the song. At that particular moment, the young brother came up to me. He said, listen, even if you have to do it a cappella, do it a cappella. The sound check at any time, at any time. And I should have did that song. One, 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 one. I should have did that song. However, I didn't. But I went and I recorded that song, and I used it as a demo. And it still served the same purpose. The same purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you're going to be asked to sing impromptu, and you have to be ready to do that. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. I want to love you so much. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. But in the way that I stare, the sight of you leaves me weak. And there are no words left to speak. And if you feel like I feel, please let me know this is real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. I love you, baby. If it's quite all right, I need you, baby, to warm my lonely nights. Trust in me, baby. Baby, let me know it's okay. Oh, pretty baby, don't let me down, I pray. Oh, pretty baby, now that I found you, stay and let me love you. Oh, baby, let me love you. Oh, baby. I should have did that song that night. That song still echoes in the back of my mind, and I wonder why I froze when there was no instrumental music. And I've done it so many times a cappella. Now, you have to train your voice. You have to spend time developing those skills. They don't come naturally. I sing every day. And because I sing every day, it's a little easy for me to do it. But I have to practice the scales, and I have to practice my vocal cord diaphragm exercise as well. And I'm telling you that it's a real life of artists living a paradise life, the people you meet, the interaction you have with the world, the opportunities that you will have at your disposal. You have to remain humble, not prideful. You have to understand that it is a gift that you've been given, and you have to use it well. And you have to be available for God to use you. And I tell you, you open doors not only for yourself but others. And here's my case in point. At one time, I couldn't be in two places at one time. I was asked, well, could you let your son come in and sing for you? At that time, my son couldn't sing a lick. However, he said, Mom, I'll do it. He became instantly a vocalist and a soloist because he saw the dollar sign. Bob said, let him do it. We can dub over his voice if we have to, but we'll use him. I put my son on the stage to take my place, and he then instantly called all his friends and said, I'm going to be on TV. I need you to listen to me. Why don't you tune in? Every one of these youngsters tuned in to him performing, and he was lip-singing the whole time, but yet he was on TV and becoming a star, an instant star at that. But ladies and gentlemen, You might have that one-time hit, but you got to come back with something. So therefore, you not only want to just sing a good song, you want to develop good vocal cords, and you want to use your vocal cords to do many different types of songs. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because you can be called on to do any type of music. I let a package roll right out of my hand because I was called upon to do a hosting program at a hotel, and there were many songs I'd never heard of before. And I had to let $2,000 for 1 week roll off my back because I wasn't familiar with the venue of songs. That is why I'm telling you to take every karaoke opportunity you can and sing different venues of songs and music and use your voice to do a lot of different things. As a blues singer, you need to use your voice to do blues. Someday you'll come along, the man that I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man that I love. And then he'll look at me and say, I'll do my best to make you stay. Maybe he'll come one day, maybe today, maybe not, but still we'll build a nest for two. Oh, tell me who will ever roam. Oh, why would you? Until then, I'll be dreaming of the man that I love. Now, you have to be able to do the jazz, the blues. I mimicked a lot of Aretha Franklin songs as I was coming up. And I wanted to so badly be like her and singing her song. And I thought that if I learned her songs, that they would be the hardest ones to learn, that I could master those other songs. And guess what? It was true. Because her vocal cord and her range is so magnificent. And once you can hit the notes she hit, you could do the Billie Holiday. You could do Etta James. All of those came easy. And you could begin to sing her songs and sing them sometimes just like her. Aretha Franklin was my idol as I was growing up. And I would put her songs on and I would stand up in the middle of the night and sing them over and over and over again. And as we become somewhat of idolatry worshipers, we mimic the songs, and somebody said, well, you're just mimicking her songs. But I was developing my style as well. You have to develop your own style. And you have to be able to mimic those in impromptu as well. And I'm saying this to tell you that it is a gift to be able to use oratory to sing, and it's a gift to be able to talk to the audience, to let them know that you are giving something back in the form of healing. This is not your gift to hold on to. I don't care how rough and coarse your voice may be and hoarse you may be. Get on the stage anyway and sing from a different tempo if you have to. But never cancel an event because you have stayed out all night and your voice is not fit. You have to keep your throat covered up, and you have to do many things to keep your vocal cords lubricated. And keeping your vocal cords lubricated does not mean not talking. It means communicating and articulating. I'm writing many songs right now, some of them being dedicated to my mother, because there are some things I know that she left me, and that was this voice, because it came from her family side of the people. And I wanted to dedicate some songs to her, and the title of my new CD is Singing Mama's Blues. Because I was such a Christian and was so afraid to sing these songs a while back, I hindered myself from coming forth with them, and I kept writing and writing. And something told me, if you're a true singer, no matter if you're a Christian or not, you should be able to change venues just like Aretha Franklin did and sing blues, jazz, hip-hop, and gospel. God is not going to persecute you for singing things that he created. He created the blues and the jazz. So why would he come against you for singing them? Why? You told me that you were in here, oh, and she. Now you're gone in hours that seem like years. You left me singing a song. Your leaving makes my heart be slower and slower. Now you're gone in hours that seem like years. Tell me what is wrong. Don't go away from me. Why don't you please, please come back home. Here's where you ought to be. And we'll be together until eternity. But you tell me that you will leave me here. Oh, until. Now you're gone in hours that seem like years. You left me singing a song. And that's how I want to leave you, ladies and gentlemen, singing a song. Because when you find that tempo, practice every day, whether it be Anita Baker's or whether it be Aretha Franklin. And Anita Baker is one of my favorites, too. I have spent hours upon hours practicing her technique as she does Sarah Vaughan with a combination of Billie Holiday. She created herself, and that's what I've been working on, creating that vocal cord that is uniquely combined with many artists together. We do not make up one artist. We make up a multiplicity of various different tones of people. And when you find that person that you can attract to you, Babby Mason was also, and C.C. Wyman. The room grew still. Yeah, she made her way to Jesus. Yeah, she trembled from the tears that made her blind. Still on she came. She heard some folk whisper, say there's no place here for her kind. And though she spoke no word, everything she said was heard. As she poured it all for her master from her box of alabaster, and I came to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears, then I dry them with my hair. With my hair, see you right there. The night they found me, you didn't see what I felt when you wrapped his living arms all around me. And you don't know the cause of your in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way that it used to be. I was a prisoner from the tears that held me bound. I spent my days pouring my life out without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and filled my soul with the wonders of his touch. Now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. See, I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so. I came to pour out my praises today to let you know you must be able to do a venue of multiplicity of songs. And you can't be afraid to sing wherever you are. And don't worry about who's going to judge your voice. And don't worry about the cracks and the crannies in your voice. They will get better over time. If you are truly an artist and you have a craft and a gift, then give it to the world. Give it to the world. In Christ there is no ease or rest. In him, no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Join hands, then, brothers and sisters of the race. Whatever your religion, persuasion may be, then join my Father God as one, then you are surely kin to me. In Christ there is no east or west. In him, no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. We've got to learn how to love one another. When will the world know we're all sisters and brothers? Oh, we got something to change. See, we were made from love to love each other. In the name of love, we were meant to live together. It's time we took the time to give the gift to one another. See, we were made from love is you and me. Love gonna change the world for the better when we